Good afternoon, Muskegon. This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams.
Coming to you to discuss What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debit, and planning for your financial success. So last week was our inaugural kickoff. So this week we're going to get into a little bit more substance, talking about the subjects of credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. So, Chauncey, before we get started, I got to find out, how was your weekend last weekend?
Oh, man, my weekend was a great weekend. I was in Toledo for a basketball coaches clinic, and I missed the opportunity to see my Spartans beat the Michigans.
Wow.
So I missed that opportunity. It was a fantastic game. A lot of people said it was luck, but, I mean, Spartan Will is one a fabulous thing, and then our Lions won. So I had a pretty good weekend, and it was a blessed weekend.
Okay, good. No, I didn't have such a great weekend from a football standpoint, but that's okay. That's why we have football this coming weekend. We can make up for any shortcomings we may have had. I'll just leave it at that. Okay, the topic we're going to go in today is going to talk about life insurance and how it affects you and whether or not it's affordable. So I'm going to do some illustrations based on an individual that's in relatively good health. We're going to start with a 25-year-old.
Somebody fresh out of college. That's what that sounds like. Yeah, just out of the workforce, or they trade.
So they can get started. A 25-year-old male. Whole life insurance. $75,000. Would cost an individual $65 a month. So you ask the question, well, what is whole life? Well, whole life is just what it means for the whole of life. So if you take the policy out at 25 and you live to be 95, that policy term will still pay you the $75,000. Your rates will never go up, and the benefits will remain level. Now, you can compare that same individual, 25-year-old, and they purchase a term policy. And what term is exactly what it says, for a term of time. So I like to look at it whereas the insurance company is going to offer you life insurance at a lower rate, which makes it more affordable, but at the end of the term, the policy goes away. As an example, a 25-year-old, $75,000 for a 10-year term, you would pay $17.73 a month. A 20-year term would be $17.91 a month. So you see there's not much difference between a 10-year and a 20-year. So from an affordable standpoint, you'd be better off taking a 20-year term. 30-year is slightly more, $19.60. So you would be insured for 30 years. That would take the individual to age 55. For less than $20 a month. Now, we also talked about.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
so,
go ahead.
So you're telling me for 30 years I can be covered for $19 a month. So if anything happens to me, my family will receive $75,000.
Absolutely.
If I would pass or anything, $75,000. Now,
right.
Is that paid up? Like, or it always got to constantly pay that for that 30 years?
No, you have to pay that for the 30 years. That's the difference between a whole life and a term. So I like to phrase it, when you buy a term policy, you're basically making a bet with the insurance company.
Okay.
The insurance company is betting that you live longer than 30 years, and you're saying, well, in the event that I don't, then you will pay off the face value of the policy.
And that's the whole life one.
Nope, that's still term.
Okay.
So like I say, term is just like it sounds, for a term of time. 10-year, 20-year, 30-year. So after the end of that term, if you don't convert it, it goes away. So if you paid, say for instance, you took the 10-year and you paid $17.73 for 10 years and you still is alive, there's no cash benefit in that policy.
Okay.
The purpose of having term is to get you through a period of life where you have young children And if something were to happen to you, this money would sustain them until they at least reach college age. Okay, so they're not so dependent on you. Now, the other flip side to term policy is if you take term policy and invest the difference. For instance, I use an illustration that says if you did 20 years at $100 a month in an investment vehicle, be it an IRA or a brokerage account, at the end of that 20-year period, you'd have a total of $57,000 in cash in that account. If you took that same equation and you took it to 30 years, $100, it would be $196,000 after 30 years if you contributed $100 a month. So if you take the $100 a month, and we're going to use the term for the 30 years,
yes,
which is 20. So you're going to commit to $120 a month to pay into this life insurance and this investment program.
Okay. So let me know. So what are the benefits of me doing that if I invest in both of those?
So you have a life insurance policy that will cover you for 30 years for $75,000. In the event you make it past the 30 years, you have in your investment account $196,000. I think your family could afford a decent funeral and still have money left over. Okay? So it's not necessary for the life insurance policy to pay for your final expenses. If you got cash, that's what, at the end of the day, that's all the insurance policy is going to be, is cash. The good part about the investment vehicle is you can prepay your final expenses and you have $150,000 at your disposal.
Excess. And that's great. That works out big. That's big for the investor.
Yeah, but it's a commitment. You got to do it. You can't contribute, stop, contribute, stop. It is very systematic. You need to invest $100 a month into this investment program. Continue to make your payments of $20 a month on your term life insurance. So the worst case scenario is you'll still have the $75,000 in event something happens, plus you still have the money that's sitting over here in your investment account.
Oh, that's great.
That's how you build true wealth. Now, if you remember the illustration I gave for the whole life, it was a little bit more. It was like $65 a month. And it's $75,000, but at no point will that product pay you cash $75,000. There will be a cash value, but it will not equal the amount that you would have in your investment account. So
after so many years, that's what I was going to ask, the next question I was going to ask. So say I come straight out of college or I start an insurance up, and I'm a 25-year-old, and I'm paying this policy for 30 years. When will it have a cash value, if it would?
The life insurance policy itself?
Yes.
It'll build cash value as you move through the years. I didn't do an illustration of it, but I'm going to venture to say that the $75,000 cash value would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of $25,000.
Okay. So you'll have $25,000 just by having yourself insured?
Yes.
So just in case?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So and that's spending the $50 to $65 a month. $65 a month. With a $75,000 face value, and at the end of the, say for instance 30 years, that product would have a cash value of $25,000. Okay, so you can take the cash and just do away with the face value of $75,000. So, but if you were to die, they would actually give you the $75,000 plus the $25,000. Okay, because it's very low interest on a whole life policy. It's about 3 to 4%. There's other products you can get into that are life insurance policies that will generate more cash value, which they are tied to the stock market. They're called universal life policies.
Yeah. Okay.
A little more complicated, but
because you have to pick the, do you have to pick the stocks that you're gonna?
Yes. Yes.
Invest in.
There's a whole portfolio of stocks that you can pick from a conservative to a moderate to aggressive types of stocks.
Could you go and elaborate a little bit more on like you said, moderate, aggressive? Like, what do those terms mean?
Okay, so if you want to go, you want to use moderate, Those are more of your fixed incomes, such as like government securities, bonds. They're a little bit safer. They don't have much volatility as your securities do. So when you're talking about, you know, a safe, moderate investment, you're looking at those instruments that are not prone to the volatility in the market. Okay, so a few months back there, we had a pretty, you know, deep drop in the market. Some folks got nervous and didn't understand it. But it's already back, okay? It just happens. It's the cycle.
Wow.
So folks that stayed in the market didn't get scared. They've already gotten their money back.
Yeah, you got me thinking of someone. And like before we came in, I have talked to you about investing and growing my portfolio, even though I have some things already set aside. But it's all about growth. And what you just said something that, because I listen to a lot of people that that are investors and that are millionaires or like billionaires. And Warren Buffett, they had asked him about what he's reading. And he said, "I'm reading the Forbes from 1963. Mm-hmm. They was like, "Why?" He's like, "That's 1963. He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you this. The market still will fluctuate in the same way mm-hmm. since that time." So he says the way people make money is off patterns. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like if you're an investor, you just trust the market and how it's going to go. And it's, since 1963 and 2015, it's not going to be really a big difference because some people are still doing their business the same way.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that the investors look at in order to determine when it's time to really, you know, put more money into the market, hold back. You know, there are times when, yeah, you may want to go to some things that are less volatile, especially if you take, for instance, a world conflict of a war of some sort.
Yes.
A lot of investors get nervous because the potential for growth in a particular region may be stagnated or may be stopped because nobody's going to invest into factories and machineries because of a conflict. So therefore, there's a pullback, and a lot of investors will go to safer type securities, such as U.S. government security bonds, things of that nature, to preserve the money that they've already acquired.
Yeah. Something I've noticed, like over my years of seeing and trying to get people to either invest or save or work on their management or their budget plan, right? I see this. I see people that a lot of times they'll put things off and say, "Well, I'll get to that later. I'll do that when my kids' football season is over with," okay. Or I do that when Christmas is over with, or I just don't have enough money right now. And I'm just thinking about like in the past, the financial advisors I had and how they showed me how to do things with my income. And I can remember a time my accountant showed me how to change my exemptions mm-hmm. to make sure I can put money in a retirement plan.
Right,
an extra $100 or $200 was there. He showed me how to do that, and I really appreciate that relationship. And be able to look and say, "You don't need all that money in your income taxes." Say, "Put that, say that." He said, "Shelter your own money. Don't let the bank make money off of you or the school district you're working at. Yeah. They make an interest off your money." He say, "You keep it. You manage it. You get an insurance. You put it in your 501 full plan.
Right.
Put it in. Invest it." And when he showed me that, I was like, "Wow!" Because a lot of times people look at wait to tax time. What are you waiting tax time for? Somebody's investing your money already, and right. then they give you a small portion of it.
When you can actually take that money throughout the year and use it as an investment vehicle and get more interest and appreciation out of that money. But again, you got to be mindful as a investor, a saver. You can't spend this money, okay? And I think it's the best thing to do, Chauncey. But for some people, they probably couldn't manage it. And unfortunately, this is the only way that they can save money. It's through the federal government to let them hold their money all year with interest free.
They get rich.
And at tax time, they get it all back, and unfortunately, they spend it all. It'd be different if they took a portion of it, opened up an IRA, left that money in that IRA, and said, "Hey, this is what I'm going to do every year." Okay? Because there's a tax benefit for doing that as well. Okay? When you purchase an IRA, a traditional IRA. So, but, you know, I live by what you're saying. At the end of the year, I either wanted to pay the government or break even.
That's right. I don't want no big check back.
I don't want a check back. That's a savings account.
That's it. That's right. It's a free savings account on my money. Yeah. And people don't realize, like, "Ooh, my income tax is big." I'm like, "Well, look at your exemptions."
Right.
You got zero on zero. So, like, you've been making it through the year, but then you're looking at tax time for this big check to come. But if you haven't budgeted and planned, you're going to blow it on something.
Invariably, it will happen.
You're going to blow it on something. Like you said, you're not going to manage it. So I'd rather do what like my accountant showed me years ago and say, all right, claim this many exemptions. Make sure you go and get your life insurance. You get some investments. You get some things that you when you can look back and say, I'm glad I made those decisions 10 or 15 years down the road. And as that helped my life when I even fell into some financial crisis. I had some money that was somewhere that I could use. And if I didn't have that advice from him, I would have been in trouble.
Right. You had that emergency fund. You had an emergency fund set aside, which is very smart.
Yep, at least 6 months of income. That's what I've read and researched, being able to have that so you can get back on your feet and establish yourself.
That's the benchmark.
In the economy.
That's the benchmark. And, you know, one other thing you brought up about taxes, but we want to, you know, spend a lot of time on taxes because I'm not an expert. But my understanding is if the earned income credit is taken off the table, that's going to dramatically affect how much money people get back in 2016.
So they have to start investing.
Huge.
They have to start investing.
Yeah. Yeah, because that money won't be there anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah, the earned income credit, I've seen, you know, $5,000, $6,000.
Yeah, I've been reading about that. That's going to be a big blow to a lot of people missing that $5,000.
Yeah,
right.
Some of the politicians that don't particularly care for that credit has been able to pass that through Congress. And
that demographic of people.
we won't say no names.
Yeah. But you're exactly right. And just looking at that, I wonder if people are prepared for that to come.
Probably not. Because it hasn't been very well put to the public yet about the changes in the tax laws that are coming. So we're going to cover just a couple more items on this life insurance. And then we're going to get some pointers from you, Chance, before we close out the show.
Okay.
So I just took another example of a 35-year-old person. So they're starting to get up in age. And this is going to be a 35-year-old female, $75,000, whole life. Excuse me, term policy. I got a whole life coming up. But this is for term. For a 10-year, it's $16.23. 20-year. It's $19.29, and for a 30-year term policy for a 35-year-old female, it is $21.41. I would say that is affordable.
Yes, that is.
For someone that does not have life insurance. We're going to take the 35-year-old male, $75,000 face value, 10-year simple term, $18.04. A 20-year term, $21.60, and a 30-year term, $28.23 per month, 35-year-old male for $75,000. Those term policy quotes that I just mentioned, they don't require a physical either, Charlie.
I was just going to ask that question because I had an insurance where I had to take a physical. It was from a different company. They made me draw blood. They made me, they did an AIDS test. They did everything they possibly could.
Yeah, you do a urine. And a lot of that is checking for certain diseases. But the biggest thing they're checking for is drug use.
Okay.
These are no physicals, no urine, no blood. It's required when you apply for these life insurance policies.
Wow. So that's a benefit to someone. So $20 a month can help to insure my family $75,000.
Yeah, for
that's
30
a
years.
And I don't have to go through all that red tape that I had to go through when I did my insurance.
Nope.
That's beautiful.
And we're going to do an example for the 35-year-old male, female, $75,000 for a whole life. Remember, this is for the whole of life. This is not term. So you pay this $79.06 every month for the rest of your life, unless you choose the waiver of premium. And those are things that you can get into once you sit down and talk to your insurance agent, and he can explain some of the various riders that you can apply for. But just in simple terms, $79.06 for a $75,000 policy for a female age 35. And again, that was
The whole life. That's the one with the cash value. Now, how would when can she have draw cash if she needed the income, or if she wanted to, like you said, like you could put it in an IRA, you can invest it. When could she do that?
Well, with the whole life, it takes more time because this is a very, very conservative product. The interest rate is like 3 to 4%. Mm. And most people...
That's just like inflation.
Right. And most people that buy a simple whole life, they're really looking for the protection more so than the cash value, okay? So, and if, you know, an individual talks about wanting to see an additional increase in cash value, then you got to move into other products that are a little more complicated. Like I said, universal. To me, the simplest way for that individual to accumulate wealth with an insurance policy is to really invest in the stock market.
So do like you said, like come get an investment.
By term.
Yep, by term. And then have $100. Okay.
And take that $100, and in 30 years, you're going to have almost $200,000 that you're going to have. That's my suggestion. Now, there are individuals that come into my office and say, nope, I like whole life, nothing else. And that's okay. All right, I don't have a problem with that. It's still a good product. It will still perform for what their needs are. In case something happens, they know how much their family will receive. Okay, small, like I said, there's some of it that will get a cash value, but not to the degree that you could get it if you were to invest the difference yourself or get into a universal policy that has more tied into the stock market.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so with the amount of time we got left, I know you had some pointers that you need to touch on today before we move on.
It's all about selecting a person like you. Like if I'm a novice and I don't know how to, I want to invest, I want to have insurance, and I'm somebody that just probably graduated from college or just got a decent paying job or had a kid, how do I search for these people? So I'll let you finish up and I'll get into that, because that's the whole point of me and you being here. I want to be able to connect our community to say, hey, there's people out here like this, and I'm going to show you how to get to these people, like my brother right here, Tony Williams.
All right. Okay, Chauncey. Not a problem. We're going to touch on one thing before I give you this information. Two of the best things that have ever happened to this country is to allow people to invest in themselves, which is called an IRA. It's an individual retirement account. One is traditional and one is a Roth. And they were sponsored by a senator from Idaho whose last name is Roth. And the IRA, the Roth IRA, is a tax-free product. It says if you invest in this product, when you take distribution, it's tax-free.
But it has to mature at a certain amount of time.
No. Bro. No.
Wow.
No. 59 and a half is that age in which you can take distribution without a penalty. Okay? But as you invest in it, there's no real tax benefits at that time. The benefit comes when you take distribution. A traditional IRA is an instrument that is used to give you some tax relief. After you say your kids are gone or you lost your dependents, you invest in a traditional IRA. The limit is $6,500 a year. If you invest $6,500 a year, when it comes tax time, you reduce your taxable income by $6,500. The tax implication comes when you take distribution at 59 and a half. Okay? So if you take a distribution, then you pay taxes on it. The difference is with a Roth, you don't get the benefit of reducing your taxable income at the time you invest that money. But when you take a distribution down the road, you don't pay any taxes on it.
Oh, that's great.
So those are two great products that people have at their disposal in order to create wealth. Okay?
That's how you make money work for you right there.
While you
work for money. Yep. While you sleep.
While you sleep. So I just wanted to make sure that people knew of those two products that are available. There are others, but I don't think they do as much for the individual as our IRA program does, that Congress has passed for the working class, and it's a great, great product.
Okay.
And in order to, you know, contact me, I think last time we did our show, I didn't give you my phone number, which is 231-903-0314. And my office is located at 752 Pine Street in downtown Muskegon on the corner of Pine and Western. And you don't have to buy, but you can always ask questions. It's free.
That's what I'm going to be talking about right now. I'm just seeing somebody like Tony Williams coming in and wanting to work with our community this way is a positive thing. But you have people that sometimes it's a lot about building that trust. And what I've noticed in the account I have, is thinking about building your dream team, a financial dream team for yourself. And my first encounter when I first graduated from college was a mentor of mine. And I brought him in. He was a retired a CPA for the city of Detroit. So he knew. He knew how to make sure my taxes was right, help me build my businesses that I have today. And when I had times in my life when things were not too good, he was there for me, showing me how to do the taxes, showing me how to do things. And me and his relationship started out in a very positive way. I started reading financial material when I was getting ready to, when I graduated from college, and because I wanted to invest. I wanted life insurance. I wanted several different things, but I didn't know nothing about them. Okay. And I'm still not the best at those kind of products. That's why we're here today with you, because I know my community is not like that.
Well, you're building a foundation, Johnson.
And that's it. And having those people around, I call it assembling a team of financial advisors. I call it the dream team, because you want to live your dreams and your goals. And when you think about things, when your life grows, you think about how, for one, when you make bigger money, Uncle Sam comes knocking at your door. That's one person. And when you make more money, you have family coming. You have newborn children. You probably want to buy a house. You have more income. You probably want to have more buying power. So you think about what kind of players can you add to your dream team as your money grows?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can make a certain amount of money, but you don't know everything. And that's what I've noticed. So I just want to share some of the players that you probably can look for and notice in your community and just form a game plan. First one is a CPA. That's what I had. That's the first mentor I had. I used to take him to lunch once a month. Because I couldn't afford to pay his fee that he was charging, because he was big time. He rolled up in a Mercedes Benz and he just picked the restaurant. And sometimes our bill was like $250, but I was just like, it was worth it because of things I've learned and where I'm at in my life today. I was like, well, I'll pay that bill.
Okay.
But then it benefited me later when it came to doing things for me financially. Mm-hmm. So, and I learned a lot from him. I gleaned a lot from that brother. So the first one is CPA. He helped me with my taxes and showed me other people in his field that can help me do things. The second person would be a financial planner. And I think we talked about them last week. Someone that can do some of the things like a CPA do, like tax and things like that. But they also can help you structure how you can spend your money financially. The third person is an estate planner. And sometimes people think that you need an estate planner because you're rich and you're wealthy. No, everybody needs a will and a trust. Who are you going to leave your belongings to? You know, what's going to be set aside? How they're going to go? Who's going to receive them?
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, I think this is your field, an insurance broker or agent.
Mm-hmm.
And you are an insurance broker, correct?
Yes. So you agent and investment broker.
So you can offer different products other than just your company.
Right.
Just other than Farmers Insurance, because you have that title of broker, because you own your own business, and you have different products to offer customers.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So you like the big man.
No. Just a guy in the neighborhood.
But just looking at those people, and then you could think about it and you say, well, do I need all of those people on my team? No, I don't. If I could just pick one, and that one can direct me in the right way, I think that my life can be okay and I can build on those things. But if you do it right, you possibly get to the point where you might need, I want to get my life to the point where I need all of them.
Right.
Where somebody's talking about me, like if people want to invest in what I'm doing. And that's the growth model, and just saying that, what can we do with this community? How can we build? I started taking my CPA to lunch because I know I couldn't afford his fee. When he told me he charged, because certain CPAs or certain people that's in this kind of business, they either charge by the hour or they charge a flat fee. And my mentor, I got him because his wife at the time worked with me as an educator. And I was an intern in her building. She used to give me rides to the school. And she said, oh, my husband does taxes. I'm like, okay. So then he said, all right, I'll mentor you under one condition, if you pay for where we go to lunch at. So I'm thinking, okay, it can't be too expensive. So
say no McDonald's, bro.
Yeah, no McDonald's. But by sitting there for those hours, sitting with him and being able to still call him today for free advice, that's a blessing. And just being able to reach out with people like yourself and being able to connect. So that's why I just want to share today, just who do you seek for information like this? And Tony Williams is one of those brothers. And I'm Chauncey Williams, and this is your show, What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success. We're here every Saturday at 3 p.m. Check us out on Facebook, whatdoidonow.biz. Tony Williams on Facebook, Chauncey Williams. Inbox us, send us questions. If you see me in the community, contact me. I just want my community to be a better place, and I want it to be able to the people to have more money then month at the end of the month. And we have to be able to have a strategic plan.
I agree 100%, Brother Chauncey. And the goal for everybody to is they need to get to the highest tax bracket it is. Don't let taxes scare you. Get to the highest tax bracket you can get to, and you can afford to pay people to make sure that the government don't get all your money. So don't shortchange yourself. Always look for the higher levels of things in your life. I hope you enjoyed today's show. This is our second week, and we look forward to, you know, many more shows. And please do not hesitate to contact Chauncey or myself if you have questions. We'd be glad to talk about them on air. Again, I can be reached at 231-903-0314. I'm on Facebook, on the internet. You can Google me. And Chauncey has given you his information. And we think it's, you know, it's our pleasure to be able to have conversations about helping our community understand the finances that they deal with every day.
All right. Thanks for listening.
This has been, this is on 103.7 The Beat.